Arcade. Welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. It's our one-year anniversary or birthday. Or...
And who do we have?
Brian Keller's here today.
Yeah, Brian Keller! Yeah.
And Dan Fernandez.
Yeah, that's true.
Clap. So awkward. And Scott Hanselman. All right, so we're going to blow out this cheesy cake.
It's cheesecake?
Yes, I think so. I found it actually on the street. So
it's encrusted.
Happy B-Day this week on Channel 9.
Yes, really.
So, all right.
Go for it. Make a wish.
It's my birthday last week.
Oh, look at you. It's not always about you, Scott.
When was your birthday?
October 16th.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. Too
bad. But this cake's really for everybody that's helped make This Week on Channel 9 what it is. So
we love you, people.
So if you want some, send a postcard to Dan, and he'll get that right out to you.
Freeze it and send it right away.
That's right.
Awesome. All right. So we're gonna open this.
Go for it.
We got a little.
This is gonna be
Martini and Rosti.
Little Osti Spumante here. This is how we roll.
Super. Nice. Thanks for asking. All right, so Scott doesn't drink, so we have him some root beer.
I have some non-alcoholic diet mug root beer.
Cheers.
Are we allowed to advertise for them? I'm going to hold it like an advertising person.
This is how we roll in the Microsoft Recycling Cups. Okay, so lots of stuff going on.
Let's get right to it.
Now, you were in town.
Let's get right to the drinking as fast as we can.
Cheers. Yes. Cheers. Yes. So this week on Channel 9.
Bahram.
Okay.
Ah, refreshing.
It's so good when it hits your lips.
It is. It's nice.
So that's you.
That is me.
It's so dreamy. Tech Ready.
Tech Ready, yeah.
So you're in town for Tech Ready. What's Tech Ready?
So Tech Ready is a super secret, internal, magical event. It's kind of like PDC and Tech Ed and Mix all rolled up into one for internal only.
Yes.
So it's only... blue badges. It's only FTEs, as we say, full-time employees. So people have come from all over the world. So it's one of those things where when you're giving a presentation, you say, hey, anyone here from out of town? And then everyone's hand goes up. Anyone here from out of the country? And like 60% of the people come from Mexico, people from Europe.
And you were giving a keynote.
I was giving the DevTrack keynote. So kind of outlining DevDiv strategy, showing some of the things that we're going to announce at Mix and secret stuff that we would have to kill the Channel 9 viewers. Yeah. We have to kill them if we told them.
Which is why we're shipping out this cake.
The cake is a bribe to keep them quiet. But the whole point of Tech Ready is to get the field up to speed. And then one of the things that we did with the DevTrack was it was really a collaboration between the product groups and the field to make sure that we were giving them information that they need. So this is all preparing them for the year. So it was cool. We had a good time.
Cool.
Did you show anything that you can talk about?
We showed the web application installer.
We've talked about that a couple times.
Microsoft.com/web. Mm-hmm. We installed some open source applications. We saw Microsoft Songsmith. Ooh, I did something crazy with that. I might blog about that. But
it was teasers.
Pretty silly. Pretty silly stuff. What else did we show? We looked at the parallel link extensions. How those guys are doing.
Yeah, Steve Tobe.
Yeah, Stephen Tope, very smart guy. Scary smart. I don't even like hanging out with him because I feel stupid. I feel stupid when I hang out with Stephen. So you can check that stuff. PFX or Parallel Link Extensions. We had them talking about him before. What else did we talk about? Yeah, can't tell you that. No, can't tell you that. Yeah, that was about it.
So, okay.
There's a bunch of other stuff I can't tell you.
Nice.
But Mix is going to be awesome. Let's just say that.
Headlining for Mix?
I am going to Mix.
Excellent.
Mix is going to be sweet.
Excellent.
I think there's still a discount right now, actually,
on Mix.
There is, I think so.
$400 off if you register now.
We were actually talking about Bill Buxton in our last episode. He's going to keynote, who's the Scott Guthrie of design, apparently.
Scott Goo of design?
Yeah.
There's another.
I know. Isn't it nicer when you're like a label, like the Michael Jordan of software? I don't know.
If you could be the Scott Goo of anything, that would be pretty cool. But then I'm kind of kissing his butt, so.
Okay, so talking about Windows 7 stuff, we got a couple of Windows 7 things. We got a bunch of things on tools, and Raptors actually could be on your commute home. So we'll talk about that.
Stay tuned. More scare tactics.
I know.
Watch our show.
So this is actually from Channel 10, Sarah Perez, talking about how to make your own theme pack for Windows 7. So we had talked about some of the things for desktop slideshows. One is you can actually just right-click and do save your current theme, like change everything around and just save. Mm-hmm. The other is there's an advanced mode where it actually points you to MSDN documentation, and you can go to town and really fully customize this. So we're seeing a lot of people that are just building free ones or even like the 99-cent theme packs, which is pretty cool.
Hmm.
So
you have a Windows 7 machine with you, right?
I do, actually.
Let's talk about the Windows. Here's
the thing that sucks about Windows 7. Sucks deeply about Windows 7. It's so awesome that if you try to tell people how awesome it is, they're like, oh, you're a Microsoft fanboy.
Right.
That is becoming a problem. I'm like, oh, dude, I'm running 7. It's awesome. Yeah, you're paid to, so there's no way as a Microsoft employee to say anything about Windows 7 without totally sounding like a shill.
Right.
So I've just stopped telling people that it was awesome.
Nice.
It's totally awesome.
That's good.
So yeah. I've got the Dell Mini 9.
Yes.
This is the tiny little netbook, they call this. And it is a
comfortable. How much RAM did you get on
So yours? I bought it with a gig, and then for $30, I got some Crucial RAM, and I upgraded it. I've got a 16 gig SSD.
Okay.
So it's got no hard drive. It's totally silent, and it's passively cooled. It's completely silent, which is a little creepy. Got 3 USB ports, VGA out. It'll run, 1280 by 1024, and it's fantastic. And it's got the battery life's, not the greatest, maybe 3-4 hours, depends on what you're doing. But one of the things that I appreciate about it and about Windows 7 is the speed that it boots up. So I just turned it on here.
Okay.
So let's wait till we see. There you go. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Nice. 10 seconds.
That's insane.
Yeah. That wasn't slept. That wasn't hibernated. That was just
No, that was not slept or hibernated.
Wow.
Not at all.
Yeah.
So Windows 7 is going to be good. I feel good about it. I mean, it's beta. It's early, but you can go check it out. You can download Windows 7. And this is a tiny little machine.
And that's running Vista Ultimate.
Oh, yeah, this is running Ultimate. It's not
so
like
you said it was 16 gig drive, too, so how'd you get it so small?
Well, so Windows 7 is small. I mean,
okay.
I'm putting Ultimate on, and I've still got 4.5 gigs of space left on the 16 gig drive. And then myself, as a person that doesn't mind compressed folders, you can squish stuff, and you can probably squeeze another half gig or more. But what's great about this particular machine is that I can just plug in an SD card, right, just any 16 gig card, then make a link. Use MakeLink, MKLink, and make a junction point.
Right.
So I went and I said C:\programfiles SD, and then just linked to a folder on this, so that it looks like the C drive, but I've actually got the. So then I just install stuff to there.
That's awesome.
So I could move whatever I want. So then I basically doubled. But you can also go and buy 32 gig SSDs if you want to.
Yeah.
But at that point,
there's even larger actually.
Oh yeah, but if you're there's an interesting point though. You don't want SSDs that are the hard drive sized. Like those are the SSDs that would replace your hard drive.
Right.
This is literally a tiny chip. It's like this big.
Right.
So make sure that you would be looking for the Dell Mini 9 sized little chip version, not the 2.5-inch hard drive version.
And battery life.
Battery life's okay. Windows 7's really smart about shutting things off and like doing things like turning off backgrounds and themes that are going in the background, turning off transparency, things that'll slow it down.
Hmm.
So 3 hours, 4 hours.
Wow, that's still pretty good.
Not bad. It's not the best, but it's definitely
you can actually get a bigger battery that actually sticks out.
That would be cool.
Yeah,
I mean, this whole computer probably weighs as much as my battery does on my ThinkPad. So,
really?
I mean, to put it in perspective.
Oh, and then where's my MERS?
Your man purse?
This is my man bag.
It's
European.
Oh, look at you.
So I bought a Waterfield FS on sfbags.com, sanfranciscobags.com. This is this little thing here. This is actually made for an Amazon Kindle. But it fits.
Wow.
It fits the Mini 9. And then I can go out
this.
Super. And this is fantastic.
That is
I
super.
Love it. And I have a little place there for my mints.
Oh, God.
Nice.
But yeah, this is my man bag. It's hidden inside of a manlier bag.
Nice.
But that's how small it is. Isn't that great? There's no way you can't look awesome on the bus or commuting with your friends, and you pull out your tiny laptop and you sit on the train there. And what you need to do when you have a Mini 9 is you sit up extra straight.
Yeah.
And then you kind of use your giant meat hands to
talons.
Because I love it. It's a great machine. This is the machine that you want to pull out when you're watching a show and you want to fight about who's that actor. Let me get out. IMDb.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Jennifer Aniston.
And close it and it falls. Yeah, Jennifer Aniston. No.
Thank you, Scott. Luckily, is an Angelina Jolie person.
Sorry.
I finally feel vindicated.
Not so much.
So go on. Going on Windows 7. So this is right click send to. Now you were talking about the some of the other options where
Shift.
You can copy as path.
Right click send
Shift,
to.
Shift right click send to. This is was found. Sarah Perez blogged about it, but if you can see here, some of the options, mm-hmm. it'll automatically allow you to send your favorites, your documents, your desktop, everything that you'd want in the expanded menu list. And even when you hold down Shift, there's a bunch of other options. So right. just a cool, simple tip and trick.
Windows 7. I mean, we're not on the team, and we're not authorized to say anything about anything. And we don't know anyone.
No,
exactly.
But that said. What I can tell from the betas, the public betas that you guys can see, are that this is going to be a very hotkey-friendly release of Windows.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, you can get down to the clock, and you can move things around faster than ever, all with hotkeys. You can go Window 1, Window 2, and it'll launch items from the bar down there.
The docking, so when you have two bars, if you dock something.
Oh yeah,
left,
window left and right. Right. Oh,
yeah,
dude.
It's awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
Hot, very hotkey friendly. It's wrist friendly.
And you were talking about something else when you hold down Shift.
So not only when you hold down Shift and right click on stuff, there's other things that appear. And one of them I noticed was a thing that said copy path.
Yes.
So you can right-click on a folder and then copy the path to the clipboard. So
that's
I don't know if there's going to be more or less of those, but it sure appears like there's a lot of hidden stuff and fun things in Windows 7.
Very cool stuff. Now, one of my favorite things is, and this is from Greg Duncan's blog, but BITS, Background Intelligent Transfer Service. Mm-hmm. What this is a built-in system into Windows that makes it really easy to transfer files and transfer files using HTTP2 if it's possible. Do the smart detection if you can't do HTTP2.
But it's specifically idle bandwidth. This is the do it as long as you're not actively using that bandwidth,
As long as you're not busy. You know, when you get around to it.
Because it's background and it's intelligent.
And it has all the stuff that you need to do to resume downloads. Mm-hmm. So I turn off, I turn on. Now, the biggest problem for developers.
There was an HTTP2.
Apparently,
Dan. I did not know that.
Yes.
I'm going to challenge you on that one.
Okay.
I'm going to look that up.
Well, it'd be great if you had a tiny little laptop that you could just.
If I only had a small laptop that I could somehow confirm this.
Yes, and then you could throw that into my face, and then I'd be like, you only looked at Google, look at LiveSearch. So the key here, though, is BITS is really hard to program for Kotlin developers.
It's all magic.
They've done the power and made this all PowerShell commandlet. So it's really easy to start a download, resume a download, suspend a download, everything that you'd need. If I'm a .NET developer, I'm actually going to call into these PowerShell commandlets because I've tried to program.
And everyone has this on their machine already.
Yes. Yeah. So like another classic example where great features in Windows that aren't being used. Mm-hmm. So, some very cool stuff, and...
Thanks to Greg Duncan.
Yes. Love myself some PowerShell,
cool thing of the
day. And you're a PowerShell freak, too.
So. Love the PowerShell. And it's built into Windows 7.
That's right.
So, this is WPF photo sharing with... Are you really going to challenge?
No, I'm not really.
Okay. Mike Tolte was building a WPF photo sharing application. So, he does the live framework where you want to be able to drag and drop between... shares and actually show how you can synchronize data in between. So WPF app, that is a picture sharing application that you can actually just easily say, share with these friends, and you can actually see all your contacts.
You totally
and
missed
share with
the,
them.
The key ingredient of this, though. It's live mesh enabled. So
yes.
It's meshified, in other words. So
yes. In the mesh.
It's a sample of how to meshify your application.
I was coming, driving up to Seattle from Portland, mm-hmm. and I said, hey, my wife's like, okay, well, what do you got? Insulin, food, pants, you know, going through the checklist, right? She's like, is your PowerPoint, you have your PowerPoint, she says. And I said, well, it's in the mesh. And my wife says,
did you blow her mind?
So my wife says, is that like in the sky? And I said, no, it's in the cloud. And she's like,
well,
it's the same thing.
Nice.
We need to have his wife on the show. That would be a great interview.
I'll bring her up.
So let me tell you about Scott.
Oh, gosh.
Speaking of WPF, there's a WPF toolkit that was released, and this just happened, but it's a bunch of controls. So we had covered this before, but this is the RTM V1, if you will, of the data grid date picker calendar control, and something called the Visual State Manager. And you've actually talked about using the Visual State Manager.
So, yeah. So a couple people recommended the Visual State Manager when I was doing some development work where I was messing with a bunch of state and falling back into, like, old-style switch statements and Booleans and keeping track of stuff. I was doing two radio buttons with men and women and then clothing, and there was, like, two kinds of clothes.
You're talking about programming here, right?
I was programming. Okay. I was programming an application that managed clothing.
Okay.
So it was like, I want to click on men's and then have some clothing come in, and then I could have them circle around each other. And there's a bunch of states that the app could find itself in. So I was doing the programmatic way.
Right.
So the visual state manager is a way of describing that in a more declarative sense, naming them and then saying, go to this state. So it's an add-on that comes into Expression and makes complicated state management for an application as declarative as WASML is. Hmm. So it's a much more comfortable way of dealing with state.
Hmm. It's pretty cool to be able to think about that.
Because this is just a preview. Even though this is V1 of the controls, Visual State Manager is a preview.
Gotcha.
Okay, interesting. So comprehensive list of server-like controls.
So speaking of controls, Tim Heuer put together what was the term that you were using earlier?
Okay. Oh, an imperial ass load.
Yes, imperial ass load.
Right. As opposed to a metric ass load, which is 1.6.
I mean, that doesn't even make the news anymore, but imperial certainly does. And so Tim Heuer put together a comprehensive list. Just like last week, we had a comprehensive list of all the Microsoft SDKs. Mm-hmm. This is a comprehensive list of where do you go get...
On the MSDN.
Yes.
Kirby made that. Yeah, he's on my team.
Kirby did?
Yeah.
No, it was a woman.
Karen Meyer?
Was it? Karen Meyer, yeah. Yes.
Hey-o. Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, Kirby tweeted it.
Kirby copied and pasted it, but good for him, you know.
Good for him,
it's
though.
Good.
But yeah, all the SDKs in one place.
Over Love 50 it. SDKs.
It's the year of the big, giant list.
Yes, yeah. So.
Lists are back, man.
Yeah,
they're totally back.
Search engines are dead.
Scroll down, baby.
So, so Tim Heuer bookmarked this. Good place to get a lot of server-like controls.
Yeah, Tim has a great blog.
And
he's on my team.
Most, if not all of them, are free, I think.
Yeah, so, and some of the ones I like that I didn't know about, like Silverlight Contrib, which is a set of open source libraries built by Silverlight MVPs. They got a bunch of cool controls. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, everything that you can imagine in terms of office-style controls, ribbon controls. I mean,
they've got some controls where you could have a Silverlight application that looks like Office all running in the browser.
Oh, the ribbon.
Like complete ribbon control. Yeah.
Fluent, yeah.
Yes.
Is that the key
word?
They just say fluent.
That's what they call it. Well, fluent or ribbon is sort of interchangeable.
It's a fluent, fluent interface.
Well, we can't patent or trademark ribbon, right? So we had to make it fluent.
We're just going to mock everything anybody says.
Especially me.
It's really about people who don't know what they're talking about coming up with buzzwords.
Fluent? You are so fluent.
So I told my wife, I've been teaching her buzzwords, so if we ever went to like a cocktail
dinner.
Like a nerd dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Unpredicted.
Sorry.
Now, is that a Windows mobile
device?
That is
a very high quality
Windows
mobile.
Oh, wow.
No,
That Palm Trio is awesome. Right?
So let me turn that off. Sorry, sweetie. Hi.
Because she watches the show.
Yeah, she's always, because she's always on Channel 9 in the coffee house, you know, hanging out. No, but I've been teaching her stuff that she could say if we were ever at a nerd dinner. Just important life skills.
Mm-hmm.
So, what was it? It was talking about, I said, if you ever hear strings, then she's supposed to say, oh, yeah, you would use Perl in regular expressions for that.
Oh, that's cool.
We were somewhere, and she busted it out, man.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
Regular expressions in Perl, yeah.
Nice.
Just every once in a while, just teach the spouse to bust out garbage collection or, you know.
Well, his wife's a Java programmer, so you don't expect
it
of her.
Are you serious?
I am the luckiest man in the world.
Wow.
So, her and I will come home and, you know, she will literally go through ER diagrams. And it's like, well, if we do this, really what we want, because we don't know the defined columns, what we'll do is name value pairs. Yes, and we'll design everything.
Geek spouses, man. Geek spouses.
And we have whiteboards at home.
You have whiteboards at home?
Yeah.
I fear for your children.
Oh, my God. It's awesome.
Where's the dry erase mark?
Does she look like a dev? She doesn't look like
She doesn't look like a dev. Not that there's anything wrong with devs.
No.
Yeah.
What are you trying to say? We look like devs?
Yeah.
Hey, that's how we roll.
Yeah, exactly.
How's my hair?
And she's an officer in your guild. I mean...
Yeah.
Plus two charisma for that, brother.
Yeah. Exactly. Plus 9.
All right. Moving right along.
So what is Live Frame It?
I don't know where I found this on Twitter somewhere. Follow me on Twitter. I want more followers.
Do you judge success on life on how many?
I have lived.
Like, what if 1,000 people left
levels,
you?
I have
If 1,000 people left you, would it just, like, shatter?
Do we really need to use Channel 9's one-year anniversary to plumb the depths of my self-loathing? The online...
I want to know what makes you tick. People want to know. They don't get this.
Dude, my kids...
Aw, see, you had to get all sentimental.
I'm just saying. It's all about being a good programmer and all these tools and all this stuff. It's about getting out of work as quickly as possible.
Mm.
Hey, man, it's 5:01. Can I punch out? That's what it's all about, right? Making good stuff and getting the hell out of there.
Yeah, his wife gave him the talking points. That's
those are the talking points
that's
that I was
rehearsed.
Giving.
That's exactly.
Be home
rehearsed.
Soon, sweetie. I'm leaving now.
Frame it.
The live guys are just coming out with all sorts of stuff. So, do you guys remember Pointcast?
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
back in the late 90s.
Screensaver on steroids.
Way, way back in the day, before many of the Channel 9ers were born, there was this giant application of Windows 3.1 that would pull information down using some kind of a syndication format that was not XML, not RSS.
Yeah.
And it would run screensavers and stuff. So fast forward to today, we've got RSS. We've got all these digital photo frames. Mm-hmm. But most of the digital photo frames say, you know, give me a link or give me a Flickr feed, and that's kind of the extent of them. And Siva did a little bit of this, but this is basically an open platform on the live service where you can just go up, sign up, and say, I want weather, I want this RSS feed from Flickr, and I want
headlines.
You know, these headlines, or my friend's spaces. I want to see their blog stuff. And it'll automatically generate images, put them in an RSS feed, and then give you the link for that to be plugged into your frame. So then any RSS-enabled picture frame will get this stuff.
So I get a picture of my Corvette, I get a picture of my kids, and then I get
the weather.
Weather
or whatever.
Exactly.
So it's taking picture frames that are inexpensive, that know how to get RSS and images, and turn them into information appliances.
Hmm.
But what's cool about this is back to what you were saying about themes. You know, there's some stuff you can do in Windows 7 to point that to an RSS feed.
And we covered Long Zen's post last week.
That's right.
So yeah, you could potentially use your desktop as a place to put stuff. Which reminds me of CDF and the Active Desktop.
Active Desktop
we're back.
Is back. Don Box was right this whole time.
Yes.
Damn it.
IE4, thank you.
And this guy needs weather, like, in his picture frames, on his desktop, all over the place.
You care about weather?
Well, Dan and I lived down the street from one another, and we were supposed to go out one night in Seattle. And I'm like, hey, it doesn't look like we're going to make it. And he's like, why not? Well, I mean, have you been outside? There's like 6 inches of snow. And he's like, no, he doesn't believe me. So yeah, you need
hilarious.
To put the weather
actually
in
that
his
is
face.
That is a true story.
If there were some kind of gadget or widget framework that would allow you to see weather,
if only I had a watch that needed
a smart watch
that needed to be charged every 2 hours.
Or a watch at all. Come on, what is wrong with you?
I'm one of these new kids that just uses the cell phone these days.
But what if you want to go like this?
Well, I pick out the cell phone, and then I'm like, ooh, wow, look who texted me.
I want to boot up something to tell what time it is.
Moving right along. Kazaml.
So, tools. So
Shazaml.
Kazaml is a tool, and the guy's name is Robbie
Kazaml
Inga...
is a tool.
Inga Bretson.
Robbie Inga Bretson. Brilliant.
So it's a tool for editing XAML for both WPF and Silverlight.
Instant preview.
It's got a two-pane view, so you can just type XAML in the bottom pane. It uses Sharp Developed IntelliSense, and it's got like even the cute like drop-down WPF style.
But it lets you type preview. XAML, and the preview happens as you're typing.
Exactly.
Yes.
So this is an interview Adam Kinney did with the creator of XAML, Kazaml.
So it's like XAML pad on steroids.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Or XAML.
And it's what does WPF, and then the beta does Silverlight. And you can even do things like select a hex value for a color, and then there's a color picker, and it'll automatically update that. So it's just, if you want to do some scratch, if you want to just kind of brainstorm stuff, if you find some XAML online, you don't feel like firing up Expression, you just want to see what it looks like.
Yeah.
Copy, paste, drop it in, boom.
Yep.
And
nice.
It's got a bunch of built-in samples, so you can see like little bubbles going around
snippets.
The world, and you can see like, you know, just the basic stuff. So
you don't always see little bubbles going around the world? Is that just me?
That champagne hit you hard, my friend. Ew. That's a social.
Yeah. Welcome to the social.
Yeah, I need to.
Welcome
need
to the here. Social.
Did you guys just seriously drink all that booze?
Yeah, we did. This is how we roll, dude.
Aren't you supposed to sip alcohol?
Are you nursing that root beer, dude?
Yes.
So build RAM disk for speeding VSIO.
Yeah, so way back in 1989.
Tell the story the way it was. You brought this tip to us, and you're like, oh my goodness, it is so awesome. There's this thing, it's called a RAM disk.
Oh my gosh.
And Brian
was
like, wow, yeah, that's really neat. There's this thing called a coprocessor, just floating point math. It's new.
Look, guys, I've been editing my HiMem.sys file.
Dude,
and
have you
my
been stackering your system? Because I put DR-DOS in my box, and I loaded some stuff into Upper Memory Man. I ran QAMM a couple times. And it lets me run DeskView. And
DeskView is,
and then I put Windows
Doom
for
anymore.
Workgroups inside of a DeskView window, hook it up to my DigiBoard. I run Wildcat in the BBS and mount multiplex the whole thing. It's fantastic.
Wildcat.
1,200 bits.
All I know is WordStar isn't working now, and I don't know why. So, all right, so check this out. This is a tool that'll take your RAM and make it into a... make it visible as a hard drive.
Right.
I can't listen to this tip.
On Vista. And the idea is you can copy paste your Visual Studio projects over. The one reason Visual Studio, or the one thing the Visual Studio does, it's completely I/O bound. So any sort
according to this guy,
according to Scott Guthrie, if you look at
the
one thing that you want to do to speed up your IOs to get speed up Visual Studio is to get a fast hard drive.
Really?
Yes. So because it's doing the constant text parsing,
That's an important developer rig tip.
Yes, yes, actually. It's the one thing you can do to improve your VS speed. So this guy, and we haven't tested this.
Okay.
So
no, I don't know if it works or not. I'll try it now.
We have no idea. This could burn your machine down. but the idea is you copy and paste your project over there, and then it's your project's literally running in RAM, so it's much faster, and the project just works. It doesn't do anything.
I've been complaining about Visual Studio being slow, but it's because maybe because I redirected my Documents folder to a server. I'm running, and then underneath that is Visual Studio Project. So I've been like, what's going on? Maybe I'm having latency because I'm running it on a remote disk.
That is exactly it.
So we can learn something from Dan. Is that a Winnie the Pooh balloon? Where did that come from?
This is Baby's first birthday for our show. This is
thanks, Piglet.
So translating to animals here.
Wow, that was from Piglet to a scary alien monkey man.
And a dog. So we talked about this a while back, Trossen Robotics having a robotics competition.
Yeah, they have contests on a regular basis, and they just announced their winners. So
the head would win.
The head, yeah. So if you see these two, now the dog is an animatronic dog and has
no legs or arms,
and you know has some cool thing.
3D
for
stereoscopic.
I don't think
vision.
It's animatronic. Yeah. It has nothing but a tail.
No, it does. It does.
And a head.
It does. Its head tilts. So there you go.
That makes it animatronic.
Well,
so that means Brian's animatronic at that point.
Dude, Brian is animatronic. Are you kidding? If you haven't seen this guy do the robot. So the dog won. This thing got third place. And what this is it's a dentist who worked with a special effects guy. And literally, you can see the eyelashes.
That is a dentist?
No, it was built by a dentist.
Wow.
So all the teeth, the mouse effects, the eyes, the blinking, the snorting, everything, it looks scary as hell.
Nice. So what
does the dog do? Does it shoot lasers? Or what does it do?
That's what I'm saying. How could that dog beat that thing?
It must be doing something awesome.
It's got to be. I'm thinking recount. I don't want to say Blagojevich or whatever his name was involved, but
Blagojevich.
So then,
anyway, we're gonna link to some videos. So you can check it out for yourself.
I want to know why the dog won. It must.
I really want to know how the dog could beat that thing. So this was pretty cool.
Cool.
So kudos to the winners there. And we talked about this earlier on the show. But somebody has actually taken... on our last episode, we talked about how they
Zombies ahead.
Yeah.
Zombies ahead in
it's
Austin.
It's really easy to hack these things.
It's hit Indiana, the construction sign hack, and now there's raptors ahead. And this actually made the news. You found it.
That's true.
Right?
Really? Yeah, it was on the front page of CNN.com, actually.
Yeah.
Talking about raptors ahead.
Now, how do they do this? Are they using Windows Live Frame It?
That'd be awesome if you could meshify.
Is this an RSS
signs.
Feed?
I mean,
do, they,
so cool.
do they go physically to the thing? And do, or is this
they,
yeah,
they,
go,
they need
they,
a
they
RAM
physically
disk.
Go to the thing today. Yeah.
Is it with a RAM disk?
Yeah, you hack the RAM disk, and then I guess they have like the passwords are like admin or password default.
Okay.
So what's,
it's just
what's your
it's
password,
a local
like just something
thing.
Easy like that.
Yeah, they literally had just basic default passwords. There's a little
Linksys admin
thing that you can put in words, and it's three text lines and whatever many characters, and that's it.
I always imagine that they pulled from the sky.
It's just open in the back. They don't even lock it.
Well, they're going to start locking it now.
Yes, exactly. So
I would put like www. If you're going to do it,
advertise.
At least advertise.
Could you imagine what happens if raptors are in fact like ahead?
Oh, no
road.
One's ever.
Now it's like
that.
The boy cries wolf.
Yeah.
The boy cries raptor.
How many zombies are going to be on the commute home?
Yes.
All right. So picks of the week.
Picks of the week.
Social
weeks.
Yeah. I think we had to
shooters.
So mine's really, really straightforward and simple, but it's Nino, and I'm not going to botch your last name, Nino, but Nino, one of our Visual Studio Team System MVPs, put together this TFS project template. So if you're building an add-in that's supposed to connect to Team Foundation server, want to link up all the DLLs, don't have to do that manually. Just open up this project template, and away you go.
Okay.
And one of the things that a lot of people try to do is they try to hand edit the TFS SQL schema, or they try to connect to the Team Foundation server's web services.
Mm-hmm.
And while you can get something going that way, that's not really the right way to do it, because it's not those schemas and the web services are not going to be supported, and they're not going to necessarily stick around release after release. So you really want to program against the TFS object mm-hmm. model.
So you want to program against the APIs, because you guys could be changing something underneath the covers.
Exactly. Sometimes we just change stuff for fun. So you really have to watch
schema
out.
Schema for fun.
Yeah.
I'm thinking website.
Exactly.
Is that a picture of you?
That is a picture of me.
Uh-huh.
That's a picture of me from my 2005 Tech Ed keynote. I'm actually standing next to Samantha Bee right there.
No way.
Yes.
In the Daily Show.
Yeah, way.
Yeah. Yeah. Look at you.
Look at you now. You've come so far.
That's right. Yeah.
All right, so mine is, speaking of the Mixed Conference we talked about earlier, is they're going to be screening a guy named Gary Hustwit, who had done a previous documentary on the called Helvetica on fonts.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, so
I totally saw
it's that, it's that guy talking about, he's going to be doing, he's previewing at South by Southwest and then flying up just for Mix, so he's going to be at the screening of this.
Oh, so we can see this at Mix?
Yeah, so we're going to be see this at
What's
Mix.
What's it about?
So it's about industrial design. So how do you go about designing a toothbrush? How do you go about designing, think about anything and the usability and everything that goes in. So a number of designs, and he goes through the process of industrial design from just getting a bunch of people that redesign the toothbrush, make it great.
Redesign a shopping cart, whatever.
You would think this is the guy that made, like you said, the font movie.
Yes.
I mean, think about this. This is a 90-plus minute movie about a
Weendings.
Font.
Yeah.
And not even an interesting font with, like, a serif. Something that you could get a couple of minutes out. And it was really interesting.
Yeah.
It was font designers, you know, guys that started designing fonts by, like, you know, carving metal shavings off of, like, stuff to do movable type, like the old
typography is crazy.
And now,
it's
dude.
Field, yeah.
So yeah, really interesting. And if this is going to be anything at all like Helvetica, it's going to be a cool movie.
Hmm. Yeah, and if nothing else, you get to meet Gary. So I've got to say that guy's interesting.
Cool.
So that should be fun.
Sweet.
And your pick of the week.
Yes. So T4 is something we've talked about before.
All right. So so
what
text
is T4? Totally.
Template transformation
text,
T? Okay.
Text transformation, no, text template transformation toolkit.
There
Did I get it right?
Yep,
I think
got
so.
It.
Totally T.
Yeah,
T4.
Text template transformation.
So what's that mean?
Okay.
In English.
It's a code generation environment that's built into Visual Studio that nobody knows about because not enough people sing its praises.
Yes.
So, yeah, I blogged about this a while ago, and I sung its praises, and there's a really cool company and a guy named Kazoo, K-Z-U. So if you search for K-Z-U, Daniel Casolino and his team have built some tools that exploit this, and there's lots of people. There's a community that's fervent around this. So this is now built into ASP.NET MVC, not ASP.NET MVC, the runtime, and what you would think of as the model view controller stuff, but the design time experience. So you go, you know, file new project, and then you can right-click on something and say add view.
Mm-hmm.
You could say pick an object and say, well, I want you to build a view from this object. So then it uses reflection, and this is where T4 comes in. And it says, all right, well, I'm going to make you a basic data field, or I'm going to just, you know, look at this object, oh, first name, last name, and it's going to create that. So it takes the tediousness.
I do remember. We covered this a while back. Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
Well, this is just put in MVC last week. So,
but I think we covered T4 related to something
cool.
else.
Yeah,
somehow.
You could do code spit for anything, right?
Code
so
spit.
Like,
yes.
Yeah, so like you could have a project wizard that says, you know, do your name, author, and that way it automatically code spits, like comments into every file.
And it's just, it's not exposed in Visual Studio. So if you go and say file new text file and name it .tt, then it suddenly becomes a T4 thing.
Okay.
So what's cool about this, though, is that there's a website up here at msdn.com/webdevtools, where they tell you step-by-step on where these are located and how to override them. So this means that the file new application dialog kind of like becomes even more powerful, and I can start laying things out differently. T4 is really powerful. There's a guy named Damien Gard who wrote a whole series of T4 templates to make link to SQL output stuff that he wanted. He works on the team. He's like, well, I don't like the defaults. I'm going to do it this way. So definitely something you can exploit. And then, of course, you can take things like this, like Codesmith. You guys know, like, Eric from Codesmith Tools is like T4 on steroids. So there's all sorts of stuff you can exploit inside of Visual Studio and code generation, and this is really neat because it got built into ASP.NET and MVC.
Nice.
So by saying it's built into MVC, is it like doing the generate? What kind of what's a code?
So what I mean by this is that there is a workflow of that people go through that is just kind of standard. It's like file a new project, hit OK, and then I'm going to make a model, do model-driven development. So I'm going to describe what a person object looks like, and then I'm going to make a controller. And then that controller might come out of a template.
Okay.
And then I would say, well, I need a view now. I could write the tedious code that says label, text box, da-da. Or I can code-gen that. So this isn't about code-genning an entire app. This is about code-genning the tedious stuff.
So give me a form
making
that has all the fields that map to the public
fields then
modify. From this person.
Exactly,
or whatever,
that I would then modify.
That's awesome.
So
that's
it's about automating tedium. So there's a common workflow as you go through your MVC applications, and this will let you have little jumps where you like become really productive really fast because you just code-genned, you know, 80 lines of code.
Right. Awesome.
Yeah,
very cool.
So definitely check it out.
Great pick of the week, actually. So I think that is our show.
That's
so
right.
Thank you, Scott, for passing by. And
thank you for making me smell your cake and not letting me have any.
Yeah, sorry about that insulin non...
The whole insulin thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ouch.
That's okay. I have some dry bread that I'll be eating.
While we pig out on chocolate.
Yeah.
Nice.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
Cool.
See you next week.
I'm going to eat cake, though.
Okay.
Totally.
Okay. Woohoo! Cool. Right.